Welcome to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. Got a real special guest in the studio today, Mr. Thomas Squires, Tennessee Tech legend from a couple years back. All-American, all-OVC, you know, just a very rewarded career here at Tennessee Tech. And, I've been wanting to get you on the show. You live in Cincinnati.
Yep.
So other than doing a phone, interview, I had to really pick and choose. Pleasure to have you in finally. You've been on my list for a long time, but welcome to the show, Thomas.
Pleasure being here. Thanks for having me, Sam.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually been a kind of long time coming. I've always enjoyed coming back to Tech, regardless of whether it's football or golf or just visiting. This has kind of been a second home since I decided to play ball here years ago. This will always be home.
We're going to talk about that a little bit too, but you got a little competition on this. Number one, your son, so I'm I'm rating you against how he did. He did pretty good. And then Gerald Brown has been doing a little trash talking because he was on about a month ago.
Oh, boy.
And we had so much to talk to him about, we had to do part one and part two.
So I don't know if I got that much to talk about.
That's the first thing. Are you going to make it a part two? So we'll have to see. But Gerald will love that. So let's go ahead and jump in. And, a lot of folks around here know who you are and have some experience for a lot of friends around this area from your time at Tennessee Tech. But, this podcast, broadcast goes out all around the world. So there may be somebody out there, that don't know you. So let's introduce them to Thomas Squires Jr. and where you grew up, a little bit about your family.
I was a lucky guy. I grew up in the eastern part of North Carolina, a small town called Florence, North Carolina. I grew up in a small fishing community, but it was more farming. Was lucky enough to and be blessed enough to have my grandparents and parents and a lot of aunts and uncles. As a child, I spent most of my time running around emulating a lot of sports legends. I always wanted to play ball, but I also grew up farming, worked in tobacco, corn, soybeans, wheat, you name it. I had an opportunity to have one of those childhoods where hard work was valued. It was one of those things that we were taught and church on Sundays. If you didn't get up and go to church on Sundays, you couldn't play any sports during the week or the weekend. Had an opportunity as I got into elementary school. I figured out that in growing up around a lot of boys, there were a lot of young men in my community, a lot of cousins, because most of the people I lived around were family. And we had some pretty good-sized families. And competition started off early for me. there was a lot of boys, and everybody wanted to win. Mm-hmm. And, a lot of times it got heated. But I learned a lot during those times. I learned what I was made out of, and I learned what I wanted to do as an adult. We played a lot of sports. We played baseball, basketball, football, and we even got out on the highway and we would race one another. But we would find something to do. And as I moved into elementary school, I had the opportunity to start playing organized sports. So needless to say, flag football was my first venture into football and kind of my first love. We didn't have tackle back then when I played. And I think Lee Horton was my flag football coach. My first football coach actually was a North Carolina Highway Patrolman. His name was we called him Jimmy Howard. His name was James Howard. I always remembered him because he would always stop my dad for driving too fast. we got to know him really well. He was my first football coach, and I learned a lot from him. He kind of drove me, and then there was Lee Horton, who coached me as a small kid. Until I got into organized sports, which was into junior high, where at the time I competed for the quarterback slot, believe it or not.
I didn't know that.
Competed against one of my rivals. I called a guy named James Moore. We're really good friends today. We grew up together, and he and I kind of fought it out for the quarterback spot. And as I moved from junior high into freshman in high school, Coach Fisher was my freshman high school coach. I guess he saw something in me from a defensive standpoint to where when I first started playing as a freshman, I played linebacker. We played a 43. Needless to say, we had a really good team. We ended up going undefeated as a freshman. It's probably the first undefeated team I ever played on.
We're talking to Thomas Squires, former linebacker at Tennessee Tech University, and a good one. And just continue right on, Thomas.
And we didn't lose a game. So as a freshman, I moved into sophomore, and I was playing starting high school football. Mm. And I played tight end, believe it or not. So I was a tight end as a sophomore. Coach Mike Twitchell was the high school football coach at the time. And as guys, we had some really good athletes, and we had some really good running backs and ball players. So as those guys moved out of high school and I moved into my junior year, they, for some reason, put me at running back. Had a pretty good year as a running back as a junior. I ended up with about 900 yards. Played linebacker on defense. And as I moved into high school as a senior, I was the starting running back for the high school and starting linebacker. And needless to say, I had a pretty good season. I ended up with 2,300 yards my senior year.
That's pretty good.
And I think I was ninth in the state and ended up probably 15th or 20th in the state in tackles. And I went to a 2A school at the time. When I left high school, I really didn't think that I would end up in college. Because for me, I didn't take school as serious as I should have until the last minute.
Okay.
And which is why I emphasize to my kids how important it is to get your studies and do your grades. Because I goofed off and almost missed the chance. So Coach Monk and my mother talked me into not going into the military and going to a 2-year school. And if I didn't like it, I could get a degree after 2 years. But they were a lot smarter than I was because they knew once I got into school to play football that I would be hooked.
Ball would hook.
Yeah, and I did get hooked. I ended up going to Chowan College up in Murfreesboro. At the time, it was a 2-year college. And Jim Garrison was the coach. He had been there for years. Needless to say, he was a pretty good ball player in his own right. He was All-American at Garner Webb.
Mm-hmm.
Probably held every record there was for them for a long time. And he had been at Chowan, I think, almost 25, 30 years already by the time I got there. When I got, as you leave high school, you think you're a pretty good player until you get to the college level.
Mm-hmm.
And the day, I still tell this story to some friends of mine. The day I stepped out on the field and my dad and my uncle dropped me off, there were 450 guys out there.
Wow.
For 110 spots. I'd never seen anything like it. And when I watched these guys, we were all running 40 times, and you like to think you were fast in high school. And I looked out, and I saw some of the guys from Texas and Florida and California, and I'm like, oh, boy, this is going to be tough. This is probably going to be one of the toughest tests I've ever had as an athlete. So practice started the following day, or should I say drills. And during that time, you practice 3 times a day. So we had 3 workouts a day. And I really didn't understand why we did it, but as the week went on.
You were getting rid of people.
Yes. There were people. I could hear dorm room doors closing in the middle of the night. And those numbers were willing themselves down. So after the first week, I survived the first week, and I was still there. Had a chance to go home, and I think I scared my mom when I walked in the door. Because when I left that first week, I was 190 pounds. When I returned home that following week, I was 212 pounds. So she was kind of freaking out, going, what in the world? But it was the fact that I had never used certain muscles in my body in high school. I mean, you didn't have the strength training programs that you had as you move on to the next level. And I had gotten a lot bigger. I walked in as a defensive back, believe it. And in a week, I went from 190 to 212. And when I returned for the second week, defensive back coach kind of looked at me and went, well, I think you'd be better served with the linebackers. So
it's not going to work.
It ain't going to work. So I got moved over to the linebackers. So
let me touch on a couple of things.
Okay.
I want to hit on the grade thing because you know, back in the day, as you remember, a place like LSU, Tennessee, you know, they could get a 2.0 kid in sometimes,
yeah.
And he could survive, you know, at a university. Nowadays, it does not work that way. You high school athletes have to have a good grade point average, a good ACT score to even get an opportunity. So knowing that you said you clowned around a little bit, in your mind, what was going on there? Did you just didn't think you would have an opportunity to play, or you weren't even worried about it at that time?
I don't think I was really worried about it at the time until it was too late.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's not that I couldn't do the work. School, my mind was sports. And I forgot about the other aspect of it, academics. And that's equally as important, if not more important. And when I realized that, it was too late, because there were universities and colleges that wanted me to come. But grade-wise, I was not ready. You know, they didn't want to spend the time and resources on someone they wasn't sure was ready to apply themselves. And to be quite honest with you, I think the junior college route was probably the best route for me, because it gave me the opportunity to figure out there's more to it than just sports. So going the junior college route, I developed study habits. You know, I had to go to class and get those grades up. And to me, that was probably one of the most important segments of my athletic career. It was those 2 years that I actually was able to build or build a brand that someone would want.
Right.
And to me, that was critical.
So I got another question on that, but we're going to take a quick break, and we'll talk a little bit more. We're talking with Thomas Squires, TTU football alumni. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. Again, we got Thomas Squires Jr. in the house. Florence, North Carolina native, came to Tennessee Tech a while back, became an all-star linebacker for the Golden Eagles. Thomas, we were talking about, your pathway through high school and into college, and, you know, self-described yourself in high school as, you know, kind of messing around until you figured out you could play or have an opportunity to play, and then tried to get on the right track, but it was a little bit too late, which led you down to a JUCO, which ended up being a great thing for you. What if we got young student athletes out there who, you know, are playing ball, whether it be football, basketball, baseball, they're in the ninth grade, you know, they're getting a little bit of varsity time, thinking they're going to be able to start the next year. What advice would you give them coming into that situation?
It's important to take school seriously, especially in the ninth grade. And I know as a young man, if the only thing you think about is sports and making sure that you're starting. But your academics is actually where it all starts, because if you don't work hard, even though you're a great athlete, no one's going to take you seriously. The academics is actually the key or the ticket to getting that opportunity to play collegiate ball if you want to. And it's also important in terms of making you a well-rounded and better prepared to step into that role as a student athlete. Because once you get to college, you don't have a lot of opportunities to develop those study habits.
Mm-hmm.
You need to start developing those in the ninth grade and developing that schedule. It's like I tell my own kids, college and high school is time management. You have to lay out and manage your time, especially from an academic standpoint, so that you can cover all those subjects and all those items, and you have that time. Once you figure that time management out, stepping into college, you'll be prepared for that. It's extremely important to develop those study habits before you even dream of playing collegiate football, because once you get at that point, your time is not yours anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It belongs to the university that you chose. I mean, you are a representative of the university, and when you get there, they're going to expect you to be ready to grow up and be that student athlete and not have to watch and monitor and make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Go to class.
That's right. they will give you all the help you need. I haven't been to a school that hasn't. But at the same time, you don't have your parents to stand there and say, hey, have you done your homework? Have you did this? Have you finished your math? You have to develop those skills in high school, which is why it's important to start at the ninth grade and start developing those habits. So when those scouts and those people come around to talk to you, they will look at your grades and they will know, yes, this young man or young lady is serious about being a collegiate athlete.
It's half the battle.
It is half the battle.
And I got to confess, I was a lot like you in high school. And, you know, when you get into Tennessee Tech, like both of us did, Dolores Wheatley,
yes,
for me, was the person who kind of sat me straight. And she did some harsh mom talking to me and said, hey, if you don't get with it, you're not going to be here. I can help you, and I can, you know, help you with your study skills and all that, but you got to put forth the effort. And when she said that, it was like almost worse than my parents, because, I mean, that's one lady we all respected.
Junior college did it for me.
Yeah.
I can tell you. When I walked in and saw the athletes, and I do mean there was a lot of guys that were much better players than I were. And when I walked in and I saw that, and when I figured I wanted to stick around, that's when the light switch went off and said, hey, you know, it's time to get serious. And my reward at the end of that was there were 10 schools lined up to offer me a scholarship when I was done with junior college. But that happened because I changed my mindset, and I changed the way I approached school and approach playing ball. I put the two together and said, hey, I can't do one without the other. So once I did that, those doors opened.
We're talking to Thomas Squires, former linebacker at Tennessee Tech. Thomas, that kind of takes us to your opportunities, you know, after JUCO, and a little bit about your time in JUCO. You ended up being on the linebacker side, so you became a defensive player. I mean, your height in JUCO was, you're 6'2", and you're probably about, what, 225 at that time?
I was about 220. As a freshman, I got up to about 220. Now, as a freshman, I played on the kickoff. And that just tells you how deep the schools were. I was number 4 on the depth chart at Willie linebacker. And I got a chance to travel because I was on kickoff team. I had to make some team so I could play. I was on special teams. And I played extremely well, special teams. Came back as a sophomore, and I tell a lot of people, I did not start as a sophomore. We were still that deep. I was number 2 on the depth chart when we came back. Now, I got a lot of playing time, but the guy in front of me name was David Ivey. I still remember his name. And after the second game, he got injured. He injured his thigh. That pushed me up into the starting spot. Well, needless to say, I had a heck of a ball game that game. We played Woody Cranford's old team, Lees McCray.
Oh, my gosh. Lees McCray.
Yes. And they came to Chawan. That day, I ended up with 22 tackles that day. I had 10 assists, 10 unassisted, and 2 quarterback sacks.
That's got to be player of the game.
So it was. So once I did that, I never relinquished that spot. I was able to start every game after that, and it ended up getting a scholarship to Tech.
That's what's amazing. You know, that had to be a lot of talent on that JUCO team.
We were loaded.
Vying for positions if you weren't even starting your second.
I was not starting. We were loaded, needless to say. Right. And I got an opportunity to make all conference and play in the junior college all-star game for the East Coast. There were 9 guys off of our squad that were invited, and I was one. And that also helped from an exposure standpoint. Because at the All-Star game, there is every university in the United States there. And we were going through drills, and, I mean, you've got guys, hey, I want to talk to you, and you lined up talking to folks. And like I said, the door opened when I decided to become not just an athlete, but a student athlete.
So Tennessee Tech you had several schools that were wanting you to come and play there 2 more years.
Yeah.
I think you probably get a red shirt year in there if need be.
Yep.
So a possibility for 3, but definitely 2
definitely
more years
2.
There.
Yes.
So when did Tennessee Tech come in the mix?
Oh, Tech was there, I think, I've met those guys at the All-Star game. Dick Bumpus was the defensive coordinator, and he came and watched. And after the ball game, I think he called me. From a recruiting standpoint, I don't think anybody could have done any better. Mm. You know, I would be walking across campus. He'd show up. I'm like, what are you doing here, coach? I was North Carolina State, East Carolina, Tennessee Tech, Austin Peay, University of New Mexico. There were several that I don't even remember. There was a bunch of schools. But the top three were Tech, Austin Peay, East Carolina, and North Carolina State.
I really want to dive into that a little bit more because I'm learning a lot today. I mean, I've known you for a long time. I didn't know any of this, so pretty cool. But we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Thomas Squires, Tennessee Tech football alumni. Be right back. We're back with Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. Got Thomas Squires Jr. in the house today, talking about him growing up in football and really just starting to get into Tennessee Tech coming into the picture. So you're getting recruited. You had several schools that were wanting you to come play for them, and you mentioned the top three, and the first one you mentioned was Tennessee Tech. Real quick, I want to talk about, you know, the coaching staff that you walked into at that time was led by Gary Darnell. You mentioned Gary Darnell's name in open conversations around the country, and, you know, people will tell you he's one of the best defensive coaches that they know. He's been at the big schools. He's had very successful records as a defensive coordinator and even as a head coach after he left Tennessee Tech. I think Michigan, it was Western Michigan, I believe.
Yeah, he went to Western Michigan.
Yeah, that he went to.
And Florida.
They did real good. You know.
Notre Dame. So we kind of kept track of him. He went to Wake Forest when he left here.
Yeah, that's right.
As a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, Coach Darnell recruited me.
Okay.
So I was in high school when he started recruiting me, and then he left, and Jim Ragland took over that job, and that's how I got to Tennessee Tech. I really like Coach Darnell, and I could tell in my conversations with him he definitely knows what he was doing. Probably didn't have the records that he would have liked when he was here at Tennessee Tech the short time he was here. You know, that staff that he put together, you mentioned some of those names, and they have been high-level – college
coaches.
Football.
Yes.
You know, so give me some thoughts behind when you were here and, you know, why maybe it wasn't as successful as they wanted it to be.
I think that in any organization, when you're a leader, you have to trust the people that you put around you to make the right decisions. I think that Coach Darnell wanted to win, or we wanted to win so much that sometimes from a decision-making standpoint, we stepped in and made decisions that weren't always the right ones at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a staff that we felt like could make the right calls.
Throw some names out. I want the people to know who.
We had Dennis, I think Franchione.
Franchione was there, who went to Alabama.
Yep, Franchione. We had Coach Drake was the defensive coordinator. Because Dick Bumpus left before I got here.
Mm.
He took the job at the University of Tennessee as a defensive coordinator.
There you go.
So Coach Drake was here, and Coach Ragland. I mean, there were a lot of really good coaches.
And I'm thinking one from that's down at TCU.
Gary Patterson.
Patterson. Yeah.
Patterson, he was a grad assistant at
the time. Yeah, he was a grad assistant
at the time. Right. And we had I think we had the best strength coach I think I've had in football ever.
Yeah.
And Jack Williams. Yeah. And so the program and the coaches and the people were here. I think that when we got into ball games that we tended to not trust the decision making.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't trust the decision making, the game plan that you set up to use, it doesn't work. You know, you have to trust your coaches. And I think that's what hurt us a little bit. I mean, in terms of talent, we had the talent.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely had the talent. We needed to make the decisions. These are the people that we're going to go in and fight with and try to win with, and we needed to stick to that. We were too much back and forth. You know, you've got to give a kid an opportunity. If he makes a mistake, you got to stick with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't do that. If a person makes one mistake, we would pull him or we would change him. And you can't win ball games, and the team won't have confidence in you.
Mm-hmm.
They won't believe that you know what you're doing if you do that. And I think a lot of our ball games, we were like that.
He definitely had the eye for the talent.
Yes.
You know, Coach Ragland came in, and he ended up redshirting several players his first year. and that was a tough year, you know, for the Golden Eagles. But you know, had something in mind, and gosh, I think I was lucky enough to come in at that time, and I was what you would call a Prop 48 kid at that time. I lacked half a credit in social studies. It was an oversight,
right?
And so I had to be redshirted.
Yep.
But it was the best thing ever happened to me.
Best thing ever happened to you.
Yeah, because I got to hang out with you guys and practice with you, and work, if you want to call it working out, work out with you guys. But that was the best thing ever happened to me.
Practice was tough.
Practice was tough.
It was tough. Yeah. We made it tough. We were – Jack was not easy on us, and when we got on the field, we were not easy on – the remainder of our teammates, because we wanted to play and we couldn't.
Yeah, Burt Brown will tell you a lot of stories about that, because he was a scout team quarterback
a couple times
when y'all were out there. But I mean, that, you know, that season, Ragland's second year, we had a pretty good year, and dangerous, you know, had a pretty good defense, really good offense, a lot of athletes at the positions. And that was the first real step, you know, for Coach Ragland, getting the team moving in the right direction. What do you take away from your years at Tennessee Tech as far as being a football player? I know you have a whole lot of pride in the program. Your son has ended up coming to Tennessee Tech and had a really good freshman year here last year. So what is it about Tennessee Tech that attracted you and even now?
Out of all the schools I visited, I got smart and started looking at the graduation rate.
Hmm.
Tech's graduation rate, if I remember the numbers, for the athletes was something like 97.4. It's how we ended up choosing Tech.
Wow.
And I could have went – I actually – when I got here, I could have went to UT, but I didn't.
Did your mom have anything to do with that, looking at that graduation rate?
Well, a little bit. They didn't want me to come way out here, but it was important. But for me, you know, Coach Bumpers did call me and said, hey, you know, I'm moving on to UT. I would like for you to come down here. And we had that conversation, and I was like, well, Coach, I committed to Tech. You know, they gave me the initial opportunity. Thanks. But no thanks, because I told them I didn't think it was right for me to come here, that this university offered me a scholarship, and then I up and jumped ship and go down to Knoxville.
I'm which sure is how Coach Bumpus really
which,
thought a lot
which
of
which is how I ended up staying here and not going anywhere.
You can't blame him for asking you.
Yeah,
you know,
no, I don't. You know, because he recruited me, and he left before I got here. So that's to me, that's just a natural order of things. Tech gave me my opportunity, and I just, at the way I was raised, it just wouldn't be right for me to pick up and leave. And not honor the scholarship that they offered.
Your time at Tennessee Tech, it probably wasn't win-loss-wise as good as you wanted it to be, but what were the good points that you took away from being here at Tennessee Tech besides the great education you got?
It was a win for me for the simple fact of all the players and coaches that I had an opportunity to play with and learn from. You know, a lot of people look at their careers, wins and losses. I look at mine as a huge win. Because I'm sitting here now having a conversation with one of my teammates who I was able to help as a freshman when they came in to play ball. That is the win for me. It is the guys like Patrick and Goody and Eddie Hayward, Mike Brown, Mike Thornton. You know, that is the win for me, is being able to leave and look at these guys at what we've done since we've stepped away from Tennessee Tech. These guys are all graduates. They all graduated from university. They're doing amazing things from their personal lives. And to me, it was a huge win. And I look back at the fact that I was able to become an All-American. I mean, you don't ever expect it, but it happened. To me, those are the wins. And a couple this past year, I mean, I was inducted into the Hall of Fame. In my wildest dream, I never thought that would have ever happened to me, and it did. And especially to me, it's special to me because it hopefully opens the doors for other junior college players who came here, and those guys who had to go the junior college route first to get here. Hopefully, it opens the opportunity for them to also one day sit there or be inducted.
Yeah, that's special. And, you know, I'm with you there. Wins and losses, you know, somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose, and it can always be better. You know, if you win 9 games, you want to win 10.
Right.
You know, it that doesn't matter. But
what do you take away from those wins and losses? That's the important thing.
Got two more
okay
left for you. I'm going to get to the easy one first.
Okay.
So you've been in sports your whole life. You're a very successful business person right now. What were the takeaways from sports that allowed you to be successful in your job?
That drive. Don't quit. It's that drive. It's when things are not going the way you want them to go, you figure it out. It's that drive. You don't stop. You don't say, well, you know what? I can't do this. No. It's that drive that says, keep going. Keep working. Keep looking. Keep digging. You know, because during your professional career, everybody wants to climb the ladder. Everybody has goals. And if you don't get there, it's that old saying, if first you don't succeed, try again. Football was that for me. You know, playing with my cousins in the yard, getting knocked down. Don't stay there. Get up. Never stop. It's always that drive. And the desire to always, to me, I won't say always win, but to always succeed. Because you can't succeed if you're not trying.
And all you can control is what you do.
That's right.
All right, last topic of discussion. So, you know, I had Devin on a couple of weeks ago, and he came in here, and we just, you know, started doing a little bit of comparison, you know, first years at Tennessee Tech. And, you know, I got to say, Devin had a pretty good year. You know, you ended up being an All-American, All-OVC and all that, and Devin's kind of done some of that in the first year, so his future looks bright, and you know, he was kind of talking a little bit about that.
Okay. my thing with my son, and I've been blessed to watch him play and coach him as a toddler all the way up through until he got into junior college. He has a lot of talent. He has a lot of ability. He has a drive. For me, I'm kind of sitting back waiting for him to put it all together. Because as a ball player, and I watch Devin is capable of, believe it or not, of much more than what you're seeing. And I'm not just saying that because he's my son. I've watched him, and I coach him, and I know what his abilities are. What I'm waiting for is the light switch to go off so that he knows how good he can be, and he starts working towards that.
Well, based on the freshman season, if that ever clicks and gets better than it is now, it's going to be something special. So I'm definitely hoping that's going to happen.
So am I.
Thomas, thank you for your time. We're going to definitely do a part two. So
okay.
Gerald's probably listening out there when this plays. So, Gerald, we're going to do a part two, even though you said he wouldn't make it to part two. we're going for it. So appreciate your time. Last-minute call, so I appreciate you showing up today. All right, Thomas, thanks a lot. We appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Sam. I appreciate it.